Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, if you've been with us these last few weeks, you know we're in between series. I typically preach in a series, but the Lord has put it on my heart to kind of do overviews of different series that He's had me preach in the last couple of years or so. And so today, we're going to go to a series I did back in February of 2024. It was a four-part series, and it's called He is Our Rescuing Trust. That's the portrait of God we'll be looking at today. Last week we looked at how He is our creative healer and had a series overview there. The week before, He is our family pastor, and we had an overview of that series. We talked about how He is our gentle shepherd and also how He is our deeper dive. But today, oh, He is our rescuing trust, who's always there to rescue us from works theology, self-sufficiency, on worry, as we trust Him more. So we're going to be all over the scriptures today, and there's 10 takeaways I want to share with you from this four-part series. And if it intrigues you, then you can go and go to my website at markpg.org and look for series number 99 back in February of 2024, and you can hear the four-part series there to hear more details about what we're about to cover today. So that website at markpg.org, it's called Helping You Hear God, and just press on the box that says Broadcast, and then press the box that says Portraits of God, and then you'll start having the list of these archived messages. All right, well, as we get started, as is our custom, though, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I love sitting at Your feet. There's no better place I'd rather be than just sitting at Your feet, gazing in Your eyes, listening for You to speak to us heart to heart. And when I get to sit there with my brothers and sisters, that's special as well. And so today, as we take a journey through Your love letters to us, the scriptures, about how You are our rescuing trust, I pray I'll be able to unpack it well, and just give us all a fresh vision of how You are always there for us. We can trust You. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen, amen, and amen. Well, my friends, it's no secret that all of us run into seasons of life where it just seems like everything seems to be cascading in on us, on the home front, on the job front, on the church front, in our marriage or with our kids or with neighbors or something. You know, there are seasons when it just seems like things are just, man, cascading. Might be financial. It might be health. It might be all kinds of relational things. Well, here's the thing. I remember one time we had my brother-in-law, my wife's brother was visiting us from Wyoming. And at that particular time, a few years ago, one of our larger churches was going through an incredibly difficult time, a train wreck that was just, oh my soul. And I was really aching for them because I was offering them counsel and what to, but they had a group of leadership that felt like, nope, they got it, and they were doing stuff, and I'm telling you, they were stepping on landmines right and left, and I was just grieving. And I would share it with my brother-in-law, who's an elder at his church, so we were talking shop, as it were, and stuff, and telling him about this. And after a couple of days, you know, after the visit, he was getting ready to leave, but as he was getting ready to leave for the airport, he said, you know, Brother Mark, I can tell you're really grieving over this situation, but I just felt led to tell you this. God's got this. God's got them. And God's got you. Isn't that wonderful? Man, God used that. Remind me, you can trust me, son. I got this. I got them. I got you. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. So let's look at 10 ways in which the Lord has given us a way to trust in Him. Because the Lord, our rescuing trust, He yearns for us to, number one, if you're a note taker, trust Him with all our heart. That's number one. The Lord, our rescuing trust, yearns for us to, number one, trust Him with all our heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, put it this way. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. So are you like me? Things are going on, and you kind of get motor mind at night. You can't get to sleep, and all of the dynamics that are at play, all of the options that you have, all of the domino effects that you're thinking about, all the possible, you know, landmines that are out there with whatever situation you're dealing with, just goes over and over and over in your mind, and you can't sleep. You start overthinking it. You start playing out the what ifs, you know, and if it's stuff that's generated from the past that has come up, all the regrets of how maybe you botched it and how they botched it, you know, and we come up with all of these vain speculations about stuff, all of this worry, all of this doom and gloom. I tell you, that's when we need to listen for the whispers of God when He says, trust me, son, trust me, daughter, with all your heart. You don't have to carry this in your heart and mind. You don't have to overthink this. I got it. I got you. I got this. But we just have a way of wanting to know what's going to happen. Lord, if you'll just tell me what's going to happen, if you give me just a foreknowledge of what's going to happen. Well, the thing is, if He does that, we would be trusting in what He's going to do rather than in trusting Him. And that is a huge difference. My friends, there's no way we can grasp all the ways of God. Even if He were to explain it, we can't really, really grasp it. I'm glad we're on a need-to-know basis. And I'm glad that He chooses to withhold some things. Either A, because we couldn't receive it at that time anyway, given our mindset and our heart. But also, He wants us to get closer to Him and trust His heart, not just trust His hands. Wow. Trust Him with all our heart. Well, here's number two. The Lord, our rescuing trust, yearns for us to trust Him as the Holy One. Do you trust Him as the Holy One? Numbers chapter 20, verse 12, puts it this way. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, since you did not trust me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, for that reason you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was that occasion when the Lord was telling Moses what to do when the children of Israel were grumbling about not having water. And He said, speak to the rock, water will come forth, it'll be fine. But Moses was so frustrated with those people, he didn't. He went and he hit the rock. Now we think he was being disciplined because he got angry or he hit the rock. No, it's because he did not trust the Lord to do exactly as I say. Listen, we treat the Lord as holy when we trust Him in what He wants to do in the way that He wants to do it. Now, in this particular case, it was a pretty serious deal that they demonstrated that lack of trust before the entire nation of Israel. So there was a consequence, not because God was mad or being punitive, but it was like, you know what? There are some consequences to when you don't do the things that I cause you to do. You bring it upon yourself. You jump off a 5-story building, you're going to get hurt at the bottom. You know, that's just the way it is, not because I'm mad at you, but because gravity has its way. There are certain physical laws of the universe and their spiritual laws of the universe, and I love you enough to let you experience the consequences of your own missteps, of your own lack of trust, because I want you to come to me when you're hurting, when you're confused, when you're frustrated. I am the Holy One. Scripture says He is holy, holy, holy. Emmanuel, the God who is with us, the God who is in us. Do you lift Him up as the Holy One in your own heart? Do you lift Him up as the Holy One to those around you? There was a famous preacher back in the, it was about the 70s and 80s. His name was E.V. Hill out of Watts there in California. And he tells a story that when he first came as a young pastor to that church there, he was preaching one of the first Sundays. And in the front row at the far left side, there was an older woman there, much older woman, a senior saint of God. She was just kind of rocking back and forth. As she listened to his message, her eyes were closed, and she just kept saying, "Get him up. Get him up now. Come on now, get him up. Get him up." And throughout the whole service, as he preached, she was just going, "Oh, yeah, get him up. Get him up now." Well, he wasn't sure what she was meaning there, so afterwards he asked one of the deacons, "Hey, what? I'm sorry, who is that, and what was she saying?" "Oh, yeah, oh, she's just been birthed. She's been here so long, you know. I tell you, we call her old 1800 because she was born in the 1800s. No, what she's saying is, lift up Jesus. Get him up. Lift him up. He's the Holy One. Lift him up. Lift up Jesus. Come on now. Get him up. Get him up. We want to see Jesus in your message. We want to see him. Get him up now. Get him up." Man, I love that. Do you trust him as the Holy One? Do you lift Him up and keep Him up? Wow, I love that. Okay, so number one, trust Him with all our heart. Number two, trust Him as the Holy One. Number three, the Lord our rescuing trust yearns for us to trust Him as active seekers. Trust Him as active seekers. Psalm 9, verse 10 puts it this way, "And those who know Your name will put their trust in You, for You, Lord, have not abandoned those who seek You." Do you seek the Lord? Do you actively seek the Lord? And by the way, He kind of plays hide and seek with us. He wants you to come looking for Him, but He doesn't hide so that He can't be found. He hides so that He can be found. It's kind of like playing hide and seek with little toddlers. You know, you might hide behind a curtain or a couch, but you make sure and you stick your foot out so they can see it, so they can find you. Look for the foot of the Lord sticking out. Look for the hand of the Lord sticking out. He wants you to seek Him. He wants you to find Him. He wants you to be blessed by the fact that He is always watching out for you. Now, our problem is busyness rips relationships. You might jot that down. Busyness, we're crazy busy. You ever get the question, "Hey, what's going on, man? You doing all right?" "Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's busy. I tell you, it's so busy. Things are going this and that and the other." We almost wear busyness as a badge of honor. But the thing is, busyness rips relationships with your mate, with your children, with your friends, with your relatives, with the Lord Himself. My friends, don't get so caught up with busyness in your life activities that you forget to actively seek the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek Him and trust Him as the Holy One. Trust Him as an active seeker of the Lord. And by the way, as you're seeking, there's a subtle trap we can fall into. Sometimes we can seek His hands. "Lord, would You do this? Lord, I want You to do that. Lord, I'm praying for this. Will You just work in this situation? Will You give me this? Will You make this happen?" We're looking and seeking His hands, but He wants us to seek His face. Seek My face. Seek My heart. Get to know Me. Focus on that. And it doesn't matter how I choose to answer your prayers, because you're seeking my face and heart, you're learning to trust me more, so that whatever unfolds, you trust, you know, you're at peace, that I'm at work, even if you don't understand it, especially when you don't understand it. So to the degree we trust him as active seekers and we're constantly seeking the Lord, we cultivate the reflexive ability to trust him with all that he's doing and not fall prey to busyness or distractions or preoccupations or neglect or being entertained to death, rather than actively seeking him. Well, here's number four. We're to trust him as our Savior. Psalm 13:5 puts it this way: "But I have trusted in your faithfulness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation." My friend, salvation is more than just a ticket to heaven. Our Savior saves us in so many ways, all parts of our being, body and soul and spirit. There's justification, sanctification, transformation, glorification. We have all that waiting for us if we trust him as our Savior, knowing that he has given us far more than we can possibly imagine. We have been transformed in the renewing of our mind. Scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, they are new creations. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. We were a caterpillar, and then we went into the chrysalis, and then we became butterflies, able to fly. You are a butterfly. Don't act like a caterpillar. Fly like he intended you. Receive all that he has as our Savior. Trust him as our Savior. Now here's number five. The Lord, our rescuing trust, yearns for us to trust him as our strength and shield. Do you trust him as your strength and shield? Are there times when you're feeling afraid about, man, this the economic situation in our country right now is this and that and the other, or this situation is so, well, it's kind of fearful, not sure what to expect next. Trust him as our strength and shield, my friend. Psalm 28:7 puts it this way: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I'm helped. Therefore, my heart triumphs, and with my song I shall thank him." You know, we all fall prey to feeling rejected by people. When there's a disagreement that comes up, and we feel like people don't believe what we're saying or want to trust what I'm saying and all, and we feel rejected, oh my, we can feel crushed. We can sometimes even feel knifed or attacked when people disagree with us. But there's so many misperceptions that come up, so many misrepresentations that can come up. Accusations and betrayals and all of these things can make our hearts go so deep into our chests. We put up these walls, we feel stabbed, we get self-protective, and we kind of lock ourselves up. And God says, no, don't lock yourself up and protect yourself by shutting down. I am your strength and shield. I am the source of your credibility, the source of your inner sense that you are loved. I love you more than you can imagine. I've got you. I'm protecting you. I will take you through this thing. Wow. I love that. Trust him as our strength and shield. Number six, trust him now and forever. Psalm 52:8. "But as for me," excuse me, "I am like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. I trust in the faithfulness of God forever and ever." Okay, now that I got a drink, we can go on. We trust him forever and ever. I love that. You know, the Lord provides for us so that we can be like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. He provides for us. We have his fruit of the Spirit. We have his righteousness. It starts the day we get saved, but it's going to go on forever. Not when we physically die, because we're going to get new bodies, and our spirit and our soul and our bodies will be reunited to be with Him forever and ever. Do you trust Him now and forever? When you get a glimpse of a big God, it changes everything. And He's the eternal, infinite God, and He loves us, and we are one in Him. Trust Him now and forever. Now, number seven, trust Him when you're fearful. Trust Him when you're fearful. The Bible says in Psalm 56:4, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" Well, Psalm 23 talks about the valley of the shadow of death and how the Lord prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. The Lord provides for us in so many ways. We can be fearful about the future, but you don't have to be. The Lord is more than able to provide for us and to protect us. We don't have to fear the future. He's got us in His hands. As we said earlier, now and forever. So put away fear. Fear the Lord, that is, trust in His awesome glory and might, and other fears seem inconsequential. Now here's number eight. Trust Him as our constant refuge. I love this. In Psalm 62:8 says this, "Trust Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is a refuge for us." You know, I love this picture of it being a constant refuge. Excuse me. Other words in Scripture put it like this. He is our stronghold. He is our fortress. He is our rock. He is our lighthouse. He is our hiding place. And my friends, I'm talking about a state of mind. When you are so focused in on the Lord and getting the mind of Christ, we discover that that mindset of trusting His heart with one heartedness, one mindedness, oneness and stuff is what makes Him our stronghold, our fortress, our rock, our lighthouse, and our hiding place. There's some great songs that highlight this. I love it so much. But I tell you, when we get a hold of the fact that God loves us more than we can possibly imagine, and it doesn't wane, even when we mess up, when you understand that unbridled, unconditional love the Lord has for you, it changes everything, and He does become your constant refuge. You are in the hiding place of the love of the Lord, the lighthouse, the rock, the fortress, the stronghold. You know, in the prodigal son, when he came back home, I am so struck by two things, so many things actually in that story. But the first part was when the prodigal son went to his dad and demanded his inheritance, the dad knew he was going to squander it. He was running off. I couldn't explain it for decades as a younger man. Now, as an older man, I get this. You love him enough to let him go and do their thing, though you know it's going to hurt them, but you're going to be looking for them so that when they do come home, and he finally did, when he came to his senses, the story tells us, the father saw him from afar off, ran to him, and gave him a big embrace. He tried to refuse it. "No, I just want to be a servant." He said, "You don't understand. My love never waned for you, even when you went away. This is a place that is your stronghold, fortress, refuge, rock, lighthouse, and hiding place. Come on, son, we're going to celebrate." I love that. That's you and the Lord, my friend. No matter what you've done, no matter how you may have strayed away, come back. He's waiting with open arms to love on you, to love on you. He is our constant refuge. Number nine, trust Him beyond our hearts. Trust Him beyond our hearts. Proverbs 28:26 puts it this way, "One who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but one who walks wisely will flee to safety." Do you trust Him beyond your own heart? You know, there's another study, maybe I'll cover it here in the next few weeks, 7 hidden things that blind and bind our hearts. I mean, I'm talking about from our wounded hearts when we get into defense mechanisms, and then we get into coping strategies and role playing and addictions and cognitive biases, and then we get into logical fallacies. All these are dancing around our mind so many ways, and the Lord wants us to spot that and look beyond our own heart, the confusion of our heart, the hidden things of the heart, so that He can heal us and bring us to safety. Do you trust Him beyond your own heart, or do you think, I got to understand this, Lord, before I move forward? I got to know everything. I got to see the whole picture. Oh, really? As if you could grasp it. Hey, He's in the driver's seat. Just stay in the back seat until He calls you to the front. Let Him drive the car. You don't have to know the route. He does. Trust Him beyond your heart. Finally, number 10, the Lord, our rescuing trust, yearns for us to trust Him in quiet strength. Trust Him in quiet strength. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For this is what the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said. In repentance, that means a change of mind, and rest, you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Isn't that great? Trust Him in quiet strength. Sometimes, especially in our culture, if you're one of those make it happen kind of person, you know, I can do person, a mover and shaker, a blow and go kind of person, you're a force to be reckoned with. Well, we take that as a badge of honor. Not so fast. The Lord wants us to be confident, but in Him, not in ourselves, not in our posturing, but in our prayer and in our love for people and others. Quiet trust is strength. Quiet trust is a reality that you can experience as you abide in Christ and trust Him deeply. Well, Lord, thank You for being our rescuing trust. We just love taking these journeys with You. And Lord, we will trust You. You got this. You got us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Till next time, fall in love with Jesus, your rescuing trust.